Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fleckin' Wholesome Breakdowns. I almost said Idiosyncrasies. I'm your host, Trey. With me, as always, is Jared, and we are talking about episode 5 of Disney Plus's Moon Knight.
And stay tuned for a special message from our sponsor, Peloton. Did it run?
Yeah, it ran. Yep. I started it. Don't worry. Well, we'll give it up. Give it like 30 seconds to let that run, and
Bumbo just fucking called me out for not having any weekend plans. Assholes.
That's okay. Mine usually calls me out for not having just evening plans in general. So, you know, it could be worse.
Every night is
it's like every night.
Come on, man, again. All right, podcast.
All right, so the episode. As usual, I'm gonna give the breakdown, summary, recap, whatever, of the episode, and then we'll get in and talk about our thoughts.
Is it called Fleckin' Wholesome Summaries?
It's actually called Fleckin' Wholesome's Bumble Misadventures.
That's our spinoff. Look for it next fall.
It's just Jared and I, and we give dating advice, but really badly.
And I find out we're actually catfishing each other.
Alright, so this episode starts with Mark's mom, that we do not yet know that that's her, blaming Mark for something. And then we cut to episode 4 left off with... Do you mind? Can I give my summary? Can I give my fucking whole...
Mark's mom!
So how's your mom? So the episode picks back up then where episode 4 left off with Mark and Steven screaming at Towerette. And then we cut immediately to Harrow's office with Mark screaming at Dr. Harrow. They have some conversations. You know, seems like Mark's been in this position a while. He slips into a weird accent when he says that Harrow's no doctor. In a New York accent. Possibly Jake Lockley.
We get it!
Harrow asks about a boy that Mark had brought up during one of their conversations. And Mark starts to get pretty upset. He tries to get out, and he's like, hey, you know what, Doc? Thanks, I'm feeling fine. Starts picking up like a glass pyramid. And then the orderlies come and grab him and drug him. So he's drugged, and we cut back to Towerette. And so she's kind of explaining, hey, you're fucking dead. You were shot. This is the afterlife. And then Steven's like, yo, it's the afterlife. She's like, no, it's an afterlife. You know, there's also the ancestral plane.
Actually, it's an afterlife.
Okay. Is this why you don't have plans on the weekend?
No, this is why. I'm very aware, well aware of my flaws.
You have a drinking problem. So, after Towerette kind of explains the situation, Mark pushes open the doors that Towerette came out of, and they find that they're on the boat, the ship of Theseus, the ship of the damned, whatever
this is called. Let me drive the boat.
So then Towerette explains that, like, hey, this is the boat that's, you know, ferrying you to this field of reeds. Your scales have to be in balance to pass through and to get into the field of reeds. And your scale is very not in balance. She takes the two hearts from them, from Steven and Mark, puts them on the balance on the scale with the feather, and it's all out of whack. It just keeps bobbing up and down. So Mark and Steven go back into the asylum, going back through all of their memories to try and balance out the scale. And we start, we start with them going back into the asylum and finding a room, like a cafeteria, full of Mark's former victims. And he has
former
sort of...
victims, not his current ones.
Not his current ones, not his future victims. he has his Bucky Winter Soldier moment where he says, you know, I remember all of them.
Becomes really Russian for like 2 minutes.
It was really weird. He just starts like, he gets like an arm, a metal arm, and it was really wild.
Someone brought up a sweet 16, and this dude just fucking lost it.
As they're going through this cafeteria, Steven sees a little boy run in and kind of run out. So he chases down this little boy, follows him into... It's phrased really poorly.
He follows the little boy out of the room. This man, he was like a predator. He just hunted this little boy. No, Stephen. And then, keep in mind, Mark was like, "No, Stephen, don't." And then Mark was like, "Oh, it's a little boy, isn't it?" And then he ran after the little lad. He ran so far
away. Oh, yeah. So he follows the boy into a memory where he chased him. His Mach 7 speed chased this kid into a memory of Mark and his younger brother.
Mark has memories of little boys, bro.
We need to stop. This was a really serious episode, and we're gonna just fucking get over. So, yeah, we cut to a memory, and we learn that Mark had a younger brother, and that the two of them liked to reenact scenes from the movie Tomb Buster, where one of them was Dr. Stephen Grant, and the other one was his sidekick. So as this memory goes on, we see them go into a cave, and Stephen follows them into this cave. It starts raining, and the cave starts filling up with water.
As Stephen approaches the cave, he steps on a hummingbird skeleton.
Correct. So it looks like Khonshu.
It looks like a hummingbird.
It looks like a dead hummingbird.
Look like a dead ass hummingbird, bro.
So the cave starts filling with water. Steven's trying to yell at them, like, "Come on, boys, it's time to come back." Like, it's his fucking kids.
Andy.
And they don't come out. And we hear them start screaming for help. So we go back to Mark, trying to get to Steven, running through all of his past memories, and finally he gets to one of, it looks like, his brother's funeral. Or...
Shiva. It's like a wake for Jewish culture.
Okay.
I didn't just, like, say that word.
I thought he was just, like, said something. I'm like, okay, elaborate.
I think it's called Shiva. Could be wrong. I'll double check that.
Okay.
Yeah, Jewish mourning ritual. Morning with a U.
Thank you.
So we're clear.
Yes. It's not a wake-up ritual.
Well, it's like a wake. In the Christian religion. But they're Jewish.
So yes, they have their mourning for Mark's brother.
Mark's brother didn't have another morning after that day, bro.
God damn it, we're never getting through this episode.
Fucking dead.
And so we see Mark come, young Mark, little kid Mark, coming down the stairs, and just his mother just is crying and furious and blaming him for his brother's death.
Which
they called him Roro. I don't know what his brother's name actually was.
Wasn't it like Randall?
I think, it was like Randall or something. So then we see more memories of Mark. Well, we see another memory of Mark growing up and moving out, arguing with his father, talking about how he's supposed to, his father's telling him, like, you know, you need to stay here and help her, talking about Mark's mother. And Mark kind of just like, no, that's not my job to help her, you need to help her. So then we see him leave, presumably going to join the military. So then we have another memory of Mark post-military, where he signs on with, you know, a band of mercenaries. And it's the moment that his partner kills Layla's father. So his partner gets greedy and says, you know what, I'm just taking them all out. And Mark tries to protect him, gets himself wounded in the process. crawls to Khonshu's temple, where he then plans to kill himself. Khonshu stops him, and that is where we get the moment of Mark becoming Moon Knight.
Yeah, Khonshu just like, man, you don't really want to do that.
You know,
like,
you don't want to do that. You're such right. a waste. So after that memory, Mark and Steven return to the boat, and they see that their scale still is not balanced. So it's closer, but still pretty out of whack.
Did you see it?
But they see then the souls of the dead being raised by Harrow. So there's a purple magic kind of beaming into this realm, pulling souls out. And so they tell
Harrow. By who?
Harrow.
Oh.
Yeah. Or Amit, I guess, but Harrow.
So the purple stuff coming from the sky, that was souls getting sent to the sands.
Oh, okay.
The sand zombies are always there because they're the ones who bring the people off the boat, gotcha. Whose souls aren't balanced by the time they reach the Field of Reeds.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because Tarouette was like, oh, people are getting sent here before their time. And
that, okay, like that. That's what it was. Yeah, before their time. So they tell Tarouette that they need to go back, and Tarouette's like, yeah, all right, let's just go through the gate of Osiris. He's not going to be happy about that, but we'll do it anyway. But you all need to get your balance, your scales balanced. So they go back into the asylum, into the memories. And then we cut back to Harrow's office. So we are then led to believe that Mark's been going through this process of self-exploration and self-discovery because of Harrow. So Harrow has kind of been guiding this this moment for him. And so Harrow tells Mark that he needs to open up to Steven. And so then we cut to another memory.
Back at their house.
So before we get back to the Harrow, they run in, they're like, you showed me that bedroom, you didn't want me to go into that bedroom, and Mark freaks out, like, don't make me go back in there, I won't go back in there. So then that's when we're back to Harrow. Harrow tells Mark, you need to go up to Steven.
He's screaming and hitting his head.
Yeah. So he tells him you need to open up to Steven. Mark looks down in his glass into his reflection, trying to look for Steven. So we cut back to that memory of in the
inside
room.
Inside the bedroom.
Inside the bedroom. So in the bedroom, it's Mark's mom pounding on the door, trying to get in. The bedroom door's closed, and she's pounding on it, trying to get in. And Mark's kind of just sitting there, freaking out. He's made a mess, knocked some shit onto the floor. Right.
That's not my mom. That's not my mom.
Yeah. And then lets Steven take control. So this is what we can assume to be the first time Steven's kind of come up, or maybe not, because he seems pretty familiar with the situation. But the Steven personality,
once we get through this.
Okay. The Steven personality takes over and starts picking up the stuff that Mark knocked onto the floor. It's like, oh, mom's going to be upset. I better pick up all this.
Yeah.
Mom's going to be upset.
Mom's going to be upset. Look at this bloody mess.
And then the mom busts open the door and just absolutely beats the shit out of this kid. I don't think it's actually shown. It's cut away from.
Lady has a belt.
Yeah, she's got a belt. Yeah. So it's cut away from, and we don't see it, but it is, you can hear it.
See, they each took certain parts from Indiana Jones. She just took only the part where he uses a whip.
Did you see the TikTok I sent you about the, like, moments out of context?
Yeah.
Back that whip! That killed me. So after that, we're, you know, Mark and Steven get out of the room, and Steven just starts yelling at, or Mark starts yelling at Steven. They kind of argue, like, why didn't I know about this? Why did this never, you know, why was this not known to me? And then Mark tells him,
"I'm a fucking stress ball for you."
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm a stress ball for you. And he says that Mark protected Steven from the abuse and knowing that his mom was dead, so that Steven never had to know that his mom was dead. Steven just kind of goes, "What?"
Yeah, he was like, "You can go on with life thinking she was a loving, caring woman and all that jazz."
Yep. And then so the ball is kind of dropped on Steven that he didn't know his mom was dead. So we cut back to Hera's office, and now the Steven person. Yes. Okay.
So we get another flashback of, because we find out that his mom died, because Mark got an invitation from his father to her Shiva.
That happens after this. So they cut back to Hara's office, and they talk.
Didn't find out his mom died until then.
No, it was because Mark yells at him, says that she was dead. We go back to Hera's office. Hera then tries to get him to talk to his mom on the phone. She's like, "Hey, why don't we call your mom? Do you want to talk to her? We can call her." And Steven's like, no, she's busy. She screens her calls. Don't bother her. She won't answer. And then we don't, see that. So then we cut to...
Well, then we hear the line has, a dead tone.
Yeah, the line is a dead tone, and then we cut to...
Fantastic association there, Marvel. A dead tone to represent Steven's mom.
Yeah, so then we go to the Shiva for Mark's mother. And Mark won't go inside. We see his dad come to the window and try to, usher him inside to come in. Mark's just like, "No, fuck off, man. I'm going to sit out here and have an absolute mental breakdown in the street." And then Steven takes over again. And it's like, "Oh, bloody hell. What am I doing here?
I've done it again. Drat.
"Hey, mom, I'm a bit lost. I've done it again." So then he calls his mom in air quotes.
Which he never opens the phone app. He immediately just picks up the phone and holds it to his face.
Yeah.
Also, just for context, his mom died just a few months prior to the events of the show.
Mm-hmm. So then we go back. So we finally return to the ship again, and the scales have not balanced. They're so close, but they have not balanced, which means they can't cross the gate. So the souls of the dead start climbing on board in the sand zombie form and start fighting. They start trying to pull Mark and Steven down. So Mark and Steven fight them. Steven absolutely just beating the shit out of these things. Go ahead.
Side note, their souls not balancing isn't why they couldn't get into the gate. Their souls balancing lets them into the field of reeds. They arrive at the gate and she's like, "The doors are closed," and she wasn't sure why.
Okay. I thought it was because they never balanced.
Yeah, because that gate is the portal to, the human world. So, people's souls being balanced just doesn't give them access to
the
human world.
Okay. So after fighting, so they fight off all the zombies that were on the ship, and they think they're done, they did it, they cheer, and then a zombie grabs Mark while he's on the edge of the ship, tries to pull him down. Steven jumps, runs, lunges at this thing, pulling it overboard, pulling it off of Mark, and they both fall into, both the zombie and Steven fall into the sands. This causes Steven to lose his soul, and Mark's scale becomes balanced, so then he is able to pass into the field of reeds. And that is where the episode ends.
Yeah, we see him just in the field, sun behind him, absolutely silent. Show fucking cuts. All right. So I'll start with the first time we get Steven. So, in the entire show, especially episode one, when we first get hints of Steven having a different personality, it's always in a reflection. The first time we see Steven come to, it's in the reflection of the mirror. He, turns, looks at the mirror, and then he, And then he's like, "Oh, bloody hell. Mom's gonna be mad. She was. Beat his fucking ass.
She's pretty mad.
So that's why I think that was the first time it ever happened, is because we see him look into the mirror. So they're taking the point of showing him, like, acknowledging a reflection and that being the transfer into Steven. But yeah, I don't know. This episode as a whole fucking hit. It was deep. But, like, cheers to Marvel for taking the time to actually analyze dissociative identity disorder and, like, acknowledge how it does and can stem from, like, childhood trauma and all that shit.
Yeah.
And really, really sending it home with explaining that trauma. God damn!
I got it. I was traumatized coming out of that. That was...
But, you know, Mark having mommy issues. Checks out. Checks out. But also, like, just fun little tidbits, like, when we first see Mark and his brother was drawing a picture of a goldfish with one fin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, I don't know. I am still 100% on the side of the asylum's entirely fake. I don't think that's real at all.
No.
And I will stand behind that. I am fully against people who are like, no, the asylum's actually real. Everything else is fake. It's like the Joker. Like, fuck you. I don't give a shit. If so, it's like the Joker, then they're not going to do it because they don't do anything DC does.
Yeah. So, I think, I mean, the parts, I think the asylum parts with Harrow are fake. But I think the, them going through that, the memories, I think is part of that ship.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because
she says that. She said that it's projected in different ways. She's like, oh, I've never seen it be a...
Yeah, because that was clear them just stating that.
Right, right.
But, so, here's a fun little theory that I personally like. There's a theory that Khonshu has been with Mark, like, watching over Mark since he was a kid.
Mm.
And that he caused his brother to die to start that break of his mind so it would be easier to take control of him. And this is shown, like, why the fuck would they show that bird skeleton?
Yeah.
So, I like, that's a hint at it. And also, Khonshu has shown that he can, like, control weather. And, like, he moves the moon and shit. Like, moon has a lot to do with tides and weather and shit. And it started raining as soon as they got to the cave and flooded and killed his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that all led to the events of him being in Egypt in front of Khonshu's
worship. And... I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit. Khonshu knows that the gods don't like his meddling in the Skyward affairs because he's done it before. That he's hinted at that when he did it with the eclipse. He's like, hey, they're going to hate me when I do this. Maybe it wasn't supposed to rain that day. It's small, but it's like, it's enough to trigger the gods like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing here?
Well, I think their thing is more anything that would reveal that gods are real to humans.
Yeah.
I don't think raining would really do that. Like, causing an eclipse to appear midday and then immediately go away, that would probably do it.
Yeah.
Making the sky... Can you... Who is this?
This is Layden. Hey, we're not ready for you yet.
We're not ready.
The one time he's fucking early.
Yeah. God damn it, Landon. I forgot what I was saying. I don't think that is what would have brought it, but I do like the theory that Khonshu has to do with all of it. So yeah, like, looking forward, I'm going to hate this last fucking episode.
44 minutes? It's...
Yeah, the shortest of all... Well, like, that's the thing. The article I sent you that talked about how it broke the record for shortest, also included What If, which was like 38 minutes. So, like, it's not, because What If's was shorter.
Right. But
in terms of anything that would be canonical,
right.
It's the shortest. And, like, counting in maybe 6 to 8 minutes of credits and maybe a post-credit scene, it's a little frustrating. But we know that Ahmet's being raised, because that's why all these souls started dropping into the sands. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's going to be pre-established. But I can see, like, there's got to be another asylum transition when Mark's in the Field of Reeds. And, like, he'll have some sort of clarification moment with Harrow being like, Steven's gone. Like, he needs someone to talk to, and the Field of Reeds is empty. So he will share that with Harrow, I imagine. And then there'll probably be some big reveal that it's all a fucking illusion or some shit, but he still needs to, like, get revived. We saw him fucking die. So, also, I think you missed mentioning it, but Steven and Mark plead to Tarawet. They're like, we need to get back. Like, we need Khonshu, but he's trapped. And they mention that Layla's the key to freeing Khonshu. So we'll probably... Actually, the next episode might start with Layla and where she's been, since we haven't seen her since episode 4. Yep. So that'll probably start with her, blah, 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 probably escaping some type of prison, more Indiana Jones, Lara Croft type stuff. And then her trying to free Khonshu. And then being like, yeah, Mark's fucking dead. Or Khonshu could take over Layla. Just saying, since that's also been foreshadowed. That's
probably.
But there's also the foreshadow that she is going to become the Red Scarab.
Yeah.
Because she had, like, that thimble with the Red Scarab. Her nickname's Little Scarab. Shit like that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with her, but she's definitely the key to releasing Khonshu, since she's the only one who physically can and or knows about it. So then Khonshu, yeah, like, we're not gonna lose. See, like, that's the thing, because fucking Oscar Isaac said that this was a one-off, like, he has no intentions of returning, but it's like, money fucking talks. So either Marvel doesn't have plans for Moon Knight in the future, so they can do whatever the fuck they want with him right now, or he's just being secretive about future plans. But, like, after this, like, he does such a good job, there's no way they wouldn't have him return as Moon Knight in the last episode. Because that's the biggest complaint I've seen. People are like, this show fucking sucks. And I was like, let's read this thread. And everyone's complaint is like, it's called Moon Knight, and the character's in it for, like, 2 minutes the entire series. I was like, yeah, because it's a fucking origin story. You're learning about the character. Like, I get, and like, but it's all like the sunglasses, bald head, Facebook profile pics who are like, fire my guns in action, blah, 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 blah. Like, they're like, and I saw people saying that this episode is the worst one of the season.
Yeah.
I was like, bull fucking shit. This was an amazing episode. You just don't have the emotional capacity to understand people who go through things that aren't yourself. And I'm very passionate about this.
So
that's,
like, it's
just my frustration.
I was like, it's usually the same people too that are like, oh, Marvel just does the superhero trope.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything creative, and then it's like
Marvel's
something that's not even
snowflake. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah. Wow, we're addressing issues that a lot of people face. But yeah, so there's just so much to wrap up in the last episode, and like, all we can do is wait.
I really hope Oscar does come back, kind of circling back to that, but he hated his time with Star Wars. Like, he was just, like, asked if he was going to come back. He's like, nope, not coming back, done. And he was pretty open about, like, not liking what they did with his character, Poe Dameron. So it's like, oh, another Disney project. Yeah, I don't blame him for not wanting to come back for something else that's not too set in stone right now. Like, so it's not unlikely that he won't come back either.
Yeah. I say, because the character of Moon Knight, but, like, Moon Knight is Stephen Grant, Jake Lockley, Mark Spector.
Yeah.
So, and, like, they hinted at it again with, like, Jake Lockley. Like, there has to be some more reveal, because they've touched on it twice. That's why I think there has to be something. But again, like,
well, and I thought
that's, like, four different things that I'm like, they need to address before it ends. So this last episode better be fucking fantastic.
So my thinking too, and I've seen this a little bit, but it's that the reason they couldn't get the balance complete was because they were missing Jake, so that, like, third personality. Because I thought that's what it was immediately, where, like, she took the two hearts out, put them on the scale. I'm like, oh, they just need to go get Jake. Like, discover this third personality. But I also think
The key was losing Steven.
Right.
But,
so the key was losing
Steven. But that's the thing. DID, it's triggered by events. So there's no saying, like, Steven couldn't reform.
Yeah.
Like, he isn't a physical being. He's a chunk of, like, Mark himself. So that's why,
but,
like, they could get away with bringing him back.
So, yeah. And obviously, just I putting this out there, none of us are professionals in this field, with especially with just no, you're not dissociative identity disorder.
I'm a professional Marvel show breakdowner.
That we are. Actual psychiatry, absolutely not. But
what do you mean? I'm 21 years old and I'm a college student.
Yeah, that's right. I'll, let me hand you your degree right now.
I'm a straight white man in America. I actually know everything. For full disclosure, I am being sarcastic.
Yes.
Also, yeah, I was saying we should probably.
I was. I do want to say so. So obviously, Steven was brought on from that trauma of abuse. So this episode's kind of Mark walking back through that, kind of being forced to relive those and deal with that trauma. So then Steven dying, his soul being lost to the sands. That's kind of okay. Mark's dealt with this. Lost I raise that compartmentalization.
New trauma unlocks Jake.
True.
Or
yeah.
Finally, like, accepting love with Layla unlocks Jake. But I don't know. Jake's, like, expected to be more violent than the other
yeah,
two.
Yeah, so that's...
So,
that,
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe him fighting Amit will bring out Jake or some shit.
Or
but...
the time as a mercenary. Maybe some Jake moments in that mercenary time. And then he... really suppressed those.
Yeah, we're never gonna fucking see
we're
shit.
Never gonna find
fuck
out.
You Kevin.
All right, well, Landon's apparently anxious for Idio, so if you're here, stay tuned for that. We're gonna get started, roll right into that, and thank you everybody for watching. We'll be back next week with the last episode of Moon Knight and the
are we doing that on Thursday
after the,
Strange?
Do you want to do the movie on Thursday and then
oh, yeah.
And then do the Moon Knight on Friday. Oh, wait, we won't be here Friday.
Yeah, that's why.
Yep. Yeah, so we'll do...
You said double feature.
Yeah, we'll do both Multiverse of Madness and the final episode on Thursday. Yep. All right, so stay tuned for those, and we'll...